This is Marie Crabb, candidate for City Council District 5, and I listen to Cut to the Chase.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Gregory Proctor. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 36, Addressing the Issues. So as our listeners who have listened to episode 17, Run for the Ballot, our special guest and featured guest back then was Marie Crabb. We have brought her back again to basically talk about some of the things that has been ongoing with her campaign since the last time we spoke with her. As we all know, we've got COVID, we've got a social uprising, we've got all of these crazy things going on in the world, and of course, a new way, potentially in November, how people will be required to vote. And so I'm going to give a little brief backstory about Marie, just so that everybody kind of comes up to speed with that, and then we'll jump into episode 36, Addressing the Issues. So Marie is not only a good friend of mine, she's also a native of San Antonio. She's a proud member of her community, long-standing heritage and tradition, where she has basically roadmapped out her own life. I mean, basically since a little girl, her mom was telling her to become a doctor or a lawyer. She grew up with the dreams and hopes, primarily back then, even at a very young age, of being a candidate for city council. And now she has that opportunity. So Marie has been a full-time realtor. She also has a master's degree. She basically served two internships with the U.S. State Department of Washington, D.C. She's a certified Equal Employment Opportunity Commissioner. She's a trained mediator. She's a volunteer at the Protecting Animal with San Antonio Society, Wayward Whiskers. Basically, I got tongue-tied there. But overall, to our listeners, she's a great friend. She's running for City Council of District 5. And Marie, we're going to give you an opportunity. We know you're not feeling very well, but hey, give us some opening remarks. What do you got for us?
Super excited to be back and update on what I've been working on and some of the progress I've made. So I'm ready to jump in wherever you are.
Perfect. So as we talked about the last time, you know, just to kind of recap a few of those questions, you know, one of the things that we talked about in episode 17 was politics is hard. And basically, you know, are you really built for this? I mean, do you still have the motivation and ambition and drive with all of the external influences that are going on in the world today that this is a goal for you? You're still going for it. You're still all in. So what can you say about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think first and foremost, whenever you're passionate about something, that gives you the energy to do it day in and day out. So I wake up thinking about what I want to do with District 5, for District 5, and I go to sleep thinking about it. I think about it all day. I'm constantly working on something for the campaign, just even if it's, you know, writing down ideas or reaching out to someone new, it is something I do all the time. So absolutely, I'm built for it because the passion is bottomless.
Excellent. So in our last dialogue, just to kind of recap there as well, we basically talked about, you know, what was your plan to improve voter registration, voter turnout, you know, how are you planning to get out into the community? And since the last time we talked until now, it seems like the world's conditions have just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I know we had talked about some recommendations. So can you share with our listeners kind of what you're doing now to try to get your voice out there and basically make sure people know that you are actually going forward with this and that you're being very sincere and you're, like you said, you're passionate about moving forward with this opportunity.
Absolutely. So I've been working on getting a full-blown website up, something that's multidimensional that talks about, you know, not only my backstory, but what my plans are for District 5 or what my dreams are for District 5. I've also been connecting with other people who do podcasts, interviewing with people who have, shows on Instagram or Facebook that they produce themselves that are tied into the issues for the South Side and the West Side and tied into the community, therefore tied to the people that I need to get in front of. So I'm connecting with anyone and everyone who has an ear, and just saying the same thing over and over, what I want to do with District 5. And, you know, I don't have all the answers right now, and it's kind of an evolving process and evolving dream, but I have a vision, and I think that's enough to get started. Like I told somebody the other day, I don't have to have all of the answers. I just have to have access to the people who can help me put the dots together. So I've just been connecting with anybody and everybody who is interested in District 5, who cares about District 5, who cares about politics, who cares about people like yourself. And that's been something I've been trying to work on every single day as well.
Yeah. Well, I think today is really a great day, and it's probably one of those significant things. I know you're running on the Republican ballot, but obviously,
it's nonpartisan, actually.
Nonpartisan. But today, I think maybe 5 minutes before we were getting ready to jump into our podcast, you know, I saw where Joe Biden had actually selected a female vice president running mate. And, you know, I'm thinking like, wow, what perfect timing. You know, here we are. You know, we're getting ready to talk to you about politics. And now we've got this, you know, becoming the latest and greatest news that's on TV and social media, you know, that's blowing up. What are your thoughts regarding that? I mean, are you looking for changes to kind of occur that align with your vision, you know, not only here in the local and regional areas, but also in Senate, government, and perhaps even White House? What are your thoughts about that?
First of all, I think it's super exciting that he chose Kamala Harris. She is actually the first woman of color to be nominated for national office by a major political party. So that's huge. I mean, that is pretty monumental. So I think that is very exciting. And I just wanted to clarify, it is nonpartisan city council, so I'm not running on any party ticket. That being said, I think things are changing so much this year in so many different ways, considering the pandemic, considering politics, considering policing. I don't know what 2021 is going to look like, but I do know that if you're looking to make major change, I feel like this is the year. So whatever it is that your dream is, just like me, I'm running for city council. I'm beating the pavement as far as meeting people, putting together the platform. This is the year to do it. So there's so many major things happening. I feel like this is just kind of energizing the environment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's very well stated, because of the simple fact that, you know, those that are willing to get out there and put forth the energy and the effort, certainly, I think they all agree with you. It's a very creative, it's a very different way of thinking, different philosophies, different outcomes, different innovations. All of these things are going to help shape and cultivate our future coming off of post-COVID. And I can't say, you know, as you very well know me, I'm already being completely creative in a lot of different dimensions that I didn't think I would have been doing many years ago. So let's talk a little bit about some of the issues that are going on. And one thing that came up in our last dialogue that we want to kind of dive into a little bit now is, you know, last time we talked about the emphasis of, you know, bringing in external investment and kind of bringing in opportunity for growth to kind of help facilitate the youth in the community and begin to shape that in your campaign messaging and your strategy for going forward. How is that working out for you today?
So one of the exciting things that I talked about last time, and I kind of touched on it, and I'll definitely talk about more today, is a program that I would like to start, kind of a pilot program that essentially has high schoolers from our SAISD schools in District 5 come and work in the District 5 field office. And I'm hoping that this program expands beyond just the District 5 office. So meaning business owners in the area or somebody in the area who runs a business that could use some help and wants to integrate local youth can kind of use our idea as a platform to build their own little internship program. And it's getting the youth involved in the district, in the businesses that are happening and the politics that are happening, and just further tying them into the fabric of how the district is being shaped. So that could go for not just my office, well, future potential office, hopefully, but anybody who's interested. So basically just building the framework and allowing other people to copycat it if they're interested.
Sure. I think it's an ingenious idea because it may have been like yesterday or the day before. My days and nights are kind of running together because I'm working so many hours. But someone had asked me to respond to how do you raise children up to be entrepreneurial? And they called me out. You know, they basically said, Greg, you know, your tag, we really want it. We really want you, your points of view on this. And I think your program offers that opportunity to be able to tap into, you know, the young youth that's out there, help begin to shape and cultivate them in a very positive way to give them kind of a head start, because technologically, most kids are more savvy and more advanced now than we were way back when, you know, at least I'm touting my own age as I'm saying that, but ultimately, you know, as all this information and all these different biases and things that are coming up, to me, the real true aspect of ensuring that, you know, when I answered this lady's question about bringing a child up as an entrepreneur and having them have those type of skills is, number one, is we can't be as a parent always giving. I mean, you know, a lot of kids want. You've got to have structure. You've got to have guidance, and things have got to be based on the merit system. And I think with the way you describe your program the last time and the way we're talking about it this time, it becomes a merit based because, you know, these kids are going to have to work for entrepreneurs, organizations under an internship, which may be paid or not paid, but it's what's happening to the bottom line of their overall knowledge and their wherewithal to be able to help advance them going forward. And, you know, more people, more campaigns, more things that are focused in on that as we begin to go forward will kind of help shape and cultivate our society a little bit better. Well, we'll have people that are willing to do versus not do.
So, right. I wanted to touch a little bit more about just being so impressed with the youth today. Okay. I don't consider myself very old. I still feel, you know, like it was just yesterday that I, you know, was graduating from college, and now I see kids and I'm like, oh my goodness, they look so young. But I actually did an interview with some youth that they have this program that basically he's building solar powered lights and putting them up on light poles. And this kid, well, he's a young man. He's not a kid. I think he's 19, but he and his family put together a little solar kit and climbed up the pole, and he put it up because they had been asking and petitioning for a street light to go up. And number one, it's kind of shameful that somebody has to do that versus getting it done by the city, because the city, for whatever reason, there's a lot of steps involved in getting a street light. But the point is, they went through the steps themselves. They put a solar light up, and he organized a GoFundMe. And, you know, between he, his mom, and I think his uncle, they put this solar powered light up, and they have started this little mini initiative, basically lighting different areas that could use the illumination. Now, I was super impressed at the just initiative that he showed, that he cares enough about the community that he did this. He put this together. That spoke to my heart, because I'm thinking, like, it's not just the people who are in politics now that know how to do things, or, you know, we need them too, but we need the passion of kids like this. Okay. Young men like this, young women like this, mm-hmm. Because I mean, how do we harness that power and inject it into our community because he's ready and willing to do stuff. So let's harness that power. So that really just impressed me so much. And kids are growing up so different with the accessibility of everything on the internet. They can put together a website like that. They can put together a GoFundMe and tie it into a million different things just like that. So they're growing up super different than I did. They're growing up different than you did. And I think it takes a multi-generational approach to build a strong community. And that's like a broad statement, but the point of that is it just that thing that he did with the solar powered light showed me that I feel like we have to harness that power into the community. And I was just touched by it because I feel like that's probably overlooked a lot. I think maybe cities or just organizations or businesses overlook the power of the youth. And if we're positively, harnessing their energy and passion, I really think it can help us go far in whatever we're trying to accomplish in the community. So definitely that's something that I want to, have in District 5 is more of that. And I know there's more of that. We just have to look for it.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, like you stated, your program as it ties back in with the schools and the internship as it relates to, entrepreneurs looking for help, as well as organizations and small companies, small businesses. I think that's really the first step in the right direction. So let's kind of jump into, District 5 for those that may be listening to this podcast in California or Peru or whatever. District 5, let me just put it into this context. District 5, I believe, is one of the oldest districts here in San Antonio. It is one of the most rich cultural districts mm-hmm. here in San Antonio. And just the sure aspect of driving through there, there's just so much soul, passion of their proud and their ethics there in District 5. And so Marie is going after basically leveraging the overall capital aspect of how to, as I phrase it, keep that kind of welcoming home feel to District 5, because there's an artsy aspect to District 5 as well, if I'm not mistaken. So you care to elaborate a little bit about District 5 for us there, Marie?
Yeah. So it is a very unique district, and it has some of the oldest neighborhoods in San Antonio, and there's so much history. And if you start researching, old like doo-wop, there was some really old groups that started here in District 5. And so we have music, we have art, we have just a great neighborhood culture. And so those are things that they do not exist everywhere. So there's certain parts of town that you couldn't find those special cultural things. And there's a lot more. I mean, those are just a few examples that I can think of. But there's just a lot of ways that I feel like we're unique. And folks who are coming into District 5, like, for example, developers, it's really in their best interest to gain the favor of whatever community they're trying to develop in. And they're, these things should be taken into consideration with development. So one thing that I started thinking about before when I was talking to somebody was culturally sensitive development, or just taking into consideration the culture of the community that you're coming into when you have a developer coming into the community. So they're not coming in hopefully trying to recreate something that you see on the north side or somewhere else that just totally stands out like a sore thumb in District 5, but they're saying, okay, what is this community about? And what are the unique aspects? And how can we make that part of our development so that the community feels seen and heard? And they're not just feeling like, okay, here's this big thing right in the middle of everything else, and now we feel like we have to work around it. So trying to tie into the fabric of the community. And when you have those unique cultural aspects, I think you have a unique opportunity, especially if you're a smart developer, then you should be looking at and considering those things.
Sure. So the last time we talked a little bit about, you know, with regards to as new development moves in and you have property taxes and other various things starting to go up, you see that the residents of District 5 are basically saying, well, wait a minute, we don't necessarily want our property taxes to go up. So have you started to look at how you're able to create tax shelters with some of the people that have been there for quite some time as this new development moves in? You're still there with me, Marie. Did we lose you?
No, I'm here. Sorry. So a really important thing that is happening when you have developing communities, as everybody knows, is that taxes go up because certain parts of the community are increasing in value, and you have neighbors who are selling their properties for increased values, and that affects everybody in the community. So I don't have a specific answer for how this should look, but I have the idea, and there are people who can bring this to life, I'm sure. So basically, I think that creating a tax shelter for folks who have lived in the district for a number of years or longer, so that they're not being negatively affected by the things that are coming into the community, and so that they don't feel that pressure and feel like they're being pushed out, because it does none of us any good if people are moving to District 5 and Lone Star and Southtown because of the unique culture, and then all of a sudden we're pushing all the culture out, and all of the artists can't afford to, you know, have their art studios in the West Side because now it's too expensive. An example of how that happening at Blue Star, it used to be very bohemian, and a lot of artists had their art space there, and they still do, but it also became very expensive. So you had a lot of those artists and makers move to the West Side, to these older warehouses that had been redeveloped into beautiful spaces, and they could afford it. So you have special little pockets like that throughout the West Side. So I think that creating a way for everyone to exist together, and a big part of that is taxes. How can we freeze taxes so that folks aren't being pushed out of their house because they can't afford to pay this, you know, highly increased value in taxes, or having to raise their rent so much that their tenants can no longer afford to live there. So that's the idea. The specifics how to get there yet to come, but we can figure all of that out.
Yeah. I think certainly, you know, with everything that's going on in our society and how much federal spending and local spending is going on to deal with this pandemic, you know, taxes is obviously going to be a huge, huge concern, literally to everybody, you know, because it's going to provide a way of whether or not you have a little bit of extra or whether you have a little bit more that you have to pay. And I think that the sooner you're able to communicate that message out to District 5 probably will be the winning decision for you here in November.
Well, I hope not the only one, but yes, absolutely. And the point is to make sure that everybody can afford to live in the place that they want to be, because it's heartbreaking to think that people who have helped build District 5 feel like they cannot live here or afford to live here anymore. So there are ways to prevent that from happening, and we're going to figure it out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It just has to be figured it out. Just like in business, and you know this as well as I do, if you have a problem, there's no like, well, I'll try to figure it out, or we'll see if we can find a solution. There's only finding a solution, and there's not always, you know, a right answer. There's just the best answer how to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's dive into the last two certain issues that are going on out there in District 5. Let's talk about the crime. I mean, since you have been engaged with your campaign, and some of the things that obviously you're looking to try to reduce is crime. I mean, crime right now probably is a little bit lower than it was before COVID hit, but certainly you know, what are some of your targets that you're looking at to try and reduce crime there in District 5?
So some of the bigger ideas that I have are, number one, improving our public areas. So if you look at crime studies anywhere, it says that the worse your public spaces are and the worse things are just overall when you walk outside, that can invite crime. So if you have an overgrown lot or if you have vacant buildings and it's all boarded up and nobody goes there for years and years and years, that pretty much invites crime. And also there's crime all over the city, but we're concentrating on District 5. That's what we're concerned with. And I think just improving, making a big push to improve those public areas where you have the vacant lots, what I call the gray spaces or the boarded up buildings, that can be one of the ways that helps reduce crime. There's no like one answer that makes it all go away, but there are multiple things you can do to make it better. And I think that there has to be some way to tie in those gray spaces, those empty lots, and the lot owners who maybe don't maintain them or just maybe never lay eyes on them and forget that they're there until they get the tax bill. How can we engage them and maybe promote community gardens in those areas so that everybody has eyes on that lot and there's a purpose for people coming and going if you have a community garden? And you see community gardens in other parts of town and they're really, I think they're beautiful, and they provide, you know, food for whoever participates in the garden. So I think that's one idea, and just improving public areas can help. I also think, you know, and again, I don't know details, but in general, being more proactive and less reactive as far as policing, you know, you want to have a more community approach. And I don't know specifics on how they do it now, but I do know that as far as the research I can tell, people haven't felt safe in District 5. You can Google YouTube District 5 crime, or, you know, look up the zip codes and crime, and there are multiple news stories. So what that, and there are articles that say where they're petitioning to have storefronts. Police storefront. So that tells you that they want to feel safe. They want to feel like they're being, you know, protected, and not just they come, you know, police come out there whenever something bad happens. So being more proactive, you know, making the public areas, not just places where you have overgrown lots and boarded up buildings, I think can really help in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the other things that we kind of talked about a little bit, just at a very high level, was some of the challenges that you would be facing with dealing with, you know, the planning committee there in your district, as well as the city of San Antonio. And so, you know, creating a 10-year plan for improvement and infrastructure and various things like that, rehabilitating some of these areas that you've talked about, cleaning up sidewalks and things like that. Have you started to spend a little bit more time since the last time we spoke as to what your approach would be with dealing with the planning committees and really getting, you know, your voice heard regarding the 10-year plan to help improve the district?
I think that it really has to be treated like a mini city. So, there's so many different facets to that, and you have so many different big issues that, a 10-year plan, of course, is going to take a while to put together, but just building the ideas is the most important. And then again, I don't have to have all the answers. I just have to have access to the people who have the ideas and can help me put together the solutions. So if I'm researching, you know, infrastructure and how to improve infrastructure, what I do is, like, for example, with the streetlights, just finding out little details like this, I think helps put those building blocks in place for this 10-year plan. Finding out what is the process now to have streetlights put up, and why would somebody put in you know, their own solar paneled light versus trying to go through the process of the street light, or have they already gone through the process, and how long does that take? So just finding out those details, like, for example, if you're petitioning to have a street light put up, then you have to collect a certain amount of signatures. And then after that's been done, the city will send CPS out, and then they're going to look at if a pole exists, and if one doesn't exist, if they have to put another one up. And then they have a number of contractors bid it, and they want a fair bidding system. So that in and of itself takes who knows how long. And I forget how long they leave that bidding system open, but they allow for multiple bids, and then they choose one. And then after that, the things can be done, but it's not immediate. So there are many steps involved, and I'm sure there are a reason for those steps, but it also takes a long time just to get a street light. So you have people who are willing to say, you know what, I really need something because it makes my family feel safe, or it makes us feel safe. So that's just one example of finding out the processes of what exists now. And I think, thank goodness, I have quite a bit of time, because the more I find out, the more questions I have. And I think that's part of what it takes, is you find that information, you have questions, you think of solutions, you think of more solutions. So to answer your question in a really long-winded way, I'm still building that plan, but I am doing it in the most thorough way possible.
Perfect. So as we're getting close to wrapping up here, you know, what are maybe the top five things that you'd like to be able to, like, have your campaign be focused in on? What are the top things that you may want to ensure that is not lost in communication as you're basically communicating with the people that are listening to this from District 5?
Most importantly, I really want people to think about who they're electing, and not just think about it, but what do you want in your district? What do you want for your family? What do you want for your community? And push people to offer more. Don't accept the minimum, because we deserve better. So if we have options that you don't like, create another option. Be that option. And that's what I did. So really just think about what our community deserves, and let's all work towards it. I think for far too long, people have felt that, you know, I'll just pick, you know, whatever the best option there is. And that has been okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's time for us to start pushing for the best community we can have. I mean, I have said this to many other people, and it always stays on my mind that I have such big dreams for District 5, as I'm sure a lot of other people do. And there are ways to get there, and all we have to do is make it happen. So I think, I mean, there's a whole lot going on there, but I really want people to know that we deserve more in District 5. We deserve the best of everything that the city has to offer, and we can get there. We just have to push, and we should expect more.
Perfect. So as we're wrapping up, I'm going to go back to a little something that I stated about you and your campaign, and something that I want people to remember you by, particularly as they're going out to vote. So Marie has built a strong ethical duty, not only with her clients as being a realtor, but also in her focus and energy towards District 5. She's gone beyond the status quo to ensure that she delivers the best representation possible. She wants to be the advocate for District 5. And I would encourage everyone to go out, and if you're not registered, register, but certainly let your voice be heard. This is going to be a very changing time, as we've talked about throughout this podcast. This is a year of change, if we want change to happen. And so I'm Greg Proctor. This is episode 36, Addressing the Issues, with Marie Crabb. And Marie, we would like to say thank you very, very much
for
being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You take care, and bye-bye to our listeners. Bye-bye.